You've tuned in to the Lovely Travels podcast, where we talk about all things travel and adventure. My name is Emma Lovell, also known as Lovely. I have a mission to visit every UN-recognised country in the world, all 195 of them, while raising awareness for mental health. Join me as we revisit some of my past adventures, speak to fellow travellers, chat with fascinating locals, and even take the show on the road from time to time. I'll also be joined soon by my co-pilot, Darius, in Germany. Make sure to join in the adventure by following me on Instagram at Lovely Travels. You can join our Facebook group, also called Lovely Travels, and learn more about us at the website, www.lovelytravels.com. But for now, it's listening time. Travel vicariously along with us.
Hello and welcome everyone to another episode of the Lovely Travels podcast. I'm joined by my wonderful host, Emma. How are you, Emma?
Hey, Darius. I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm always well. Actually still getting over my cold.
Snuffleupagus.
What have we got in store this week? Who did you speak to?
I spoke to my beautiful friend, Anne-Marie de Crozel, who is an English woman living in Ibiza.
That sounds fancy. What does she do in Ibiza? What did you talk to her about?
Yeah, so she moved over there from the UK after a time in Australia. So we actually met in Australia doing promo together and when we were both in Melbourne, and, you know, she had this vision and dream to go back to the UK and start up sushi shops. And I sort of did a little bit of that for a little bit, but then decided to give it a go in Ibiza, and it took off. So she runs the Ibiza Kitchen over there, and her and her lovely partner Kit have been there ever since.
That sounds delicious and nutritious.
It is, and like, it's so awesome what she's done. Like, she just has such a passion for food and for life and for lifestyle. So the Ibiza Kitchen, it's like, it's a space to learn about Ibiza and to understand the culture and its people through food. It's a place to help you live a healthier, happier life and to be entertained, to be educated and inspired. And I had the pleasure of staying with Anne-Marie twice, and oh, wow. I felt very entertained. Felt very well cared for. We did workouts, so we did lovely, like, natural adventures and ate delicious, delicious food that she made for me.
Yeah, I'm just having a look on the Instagram, the Ibiza Kitchen, and it does look interesting and very wholesome.
Yeah, so we talked about her life there, and I guess the time, what it's like to move to Ibiza, and mm-hmm. and, you know, a lot of people think of as you said, Ibiza said a few different ways, but the Spanish would say Ibiza, and it's, yeah, people think of it as a party place, and they just like raves and parties, but there's also this beautiful natural, absolutely stunning island in the Mediterranean. So highly recommend it. And I went both times in winter and absolutely loved it. Super quiet, super chill. So hoping to get back ASAP.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to getting into this episode.
Awesome. Let's have a listen.
Let's do it.
I'm really excited to have my lovely friend Anne-Marie here today. She's an English woman, but she's living in Ibiza. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Well, tell us in your words who you are.
Now I'm a chef and I work in Ibiza. So I've been here for 7 years now, maybe eight, which is crazy. So we met each other, 10 years ago?
Yeah.
It's great.
Incredible.
So I've been here for 7 years. I work as a chef. Health food retreat chef. I'm trained sushi, actually. We'll talk about that in a minute. But now I work as a private chef as well, working for families. And I've got my two children here and my husband to be. So happy life.
Yes. And I know your lovely husband, Kit.
Yeah.
He's a lovely guy. And so let's chat a little bit about, you know, why an Australian girl knows an English girl living in Ibiza. How did we meet?
Well, we traveled, we were very young, I think, 10 years younger than we are now. And we traveled the world before we decided what we wanted to do with our life. And by the end of the travels, it was all about food. So we decided we wanted to set up a sushi company based around actually the really good sushi culture in Melbourne. Melbourne's got amazing, amazing food culture. And we were blown away, really. We'd traveled quite a lot. We'd never really seen such a strong Asian culture as in Melbourne, which is quite funny. So we decided to do that. So it took me quite a long time to get the basic skill set in, but then we set back to the UK. And then set up the business there. So we were there for about a year and a half before moving to Ibiza. I was asked to come here by an events company and work in their kitchen and on the sushi section. And it's all gone from there, really. So, yeah, we met 10 years ago and it was so much fun. I remember our traveling days with you, working in promotions. It was amazing times. I really do look back.
Yeah.
Fun.
It was awesome because you're both living in Melbourne and... you know, it's funny, you gave me a card when you left and I think I still have that card. I'd put it on my wall and it was this beautiful, it was like sort of like, it's about like reaching for the stars or something, you know, like keep going for your dreams type thing, but this beautiful thing. Because we hung out for a bit, but it was like you guys kind of, yeah, you'd found your groove quite quickly and then once you decided that's what you wanted to do, you were like, well, we just got to get back and start doing it. So it was like, oh, bye.
I know. I think with the travels, it was the end of the travels. It always was. We had money saved and we could either carry on traveling or go and set up the dream we wanted. And I think we made the right decision, to be honest. Although I traveled more. I didn't see enough of Australia. We've always said this. We didn't stay long enough. It's such a beautiful country. There's so much to see. And hopefully we'll go back one day and we'll come see you again.
Yeah, bring the little leaves over and we can go have some fun. So you went back to England. Now, where are you from originally in England, or where did you go back to?
And that's kind of the north of England. But then my husband's from the middle of England, Lincolnshire, but we've both lived in Leeds. I've lived in London. But now we call Ibiza home and it does feel like home, actually, more than England did, which is a strange thing to say, but it's always been a place we've come back to. But now it definitely is home. We've settled here with our children. We've got both our businesses here. And we're really happy. It's a really nice place to be.
But tell me, so you were in Ibiza, though, before that. And isn't that how you met?
Yeah, we've been to Ibiza. I used to work here in entertainment when I was very young, maybe 18, 19. And then I met Kit when I came back from England. And then I brought him back with me for another season. So we did two seasons here. And doing a season here when you're young is pretty wild. It's really fun, but wild. Lots of late nights, hardly any sleeping, lots of dancing, lots of parties. I don't do that life now, unfortunately, but I did for a couple of years. I haven't got time. That's how we kind of fell in love with the island, I guess. And it is a bit of a love place because it's quite polar, Ibiza. It's incredible most of the time or quite terrible. It's really high energy, very spiritual place, but a very strong energy, and you've really fall in love with the place. And that's where we are now. We're here and we're really happy, and I can't imagine being anywhere else.
It's wonderful, and it's funny because, like you said, you've got those two polar opposite sides too, where you started out with that total party atmosphere, and I actually went to Ibiza when I was 18 and I did the proper, you know, like 10 English girls, went to Ibiza, you know, we're out in San Antonio every night doing amnesia and going to these clubs and drinking far too much cheap vodka and all that jazz, and just everything you've seen on the TV shows, it's that.
Yeah.
But I had the opportunity, I went on a bus one day, I was like, I want to see more, I want to see the culture. And people don't understand there is a culture in Ibiza. You know, it's such a San Antonio, it's such a tiny little place, isn't it?
Yeah. And I mean, to be honest, 80-90% of my life now is, I mean, I've never, to put it in perspective, I've not been to San Antonio in about 5 years. I mean, it's nothing to do with my life now. And the when you're a resident here, you don't really live that life. That's just for tourists. And the life here I live is completely different. It's incredibly laid back, very active, very sporting, quite spiritual, very calm. And it's incredibly beautiful, idyllic. I mean, I live right in the north in a place called San Vicente in the hills, and it's just beautiful. It really is. Every day I wake up and think, thank my lucky stars that I'm living here.
Yeah.
And the people, everything, it's just super laid back, and it's really tight community here. A lot of people are really well traveled, and they've all settled here because they love it. So we all have that kind of communal love for the place, which is amazing.
And you do feel that. Like, I got the bus over, I just took myself off, and they were the, I don't know if they still do it, but they did the hippie market.
Yeah,
that's the, so this big market. So I went to that.
Yeah.
And, just saw a completely, like, even the bus ride, you just saw that, you know, there's like daily life there. Yeah. And so the markets were over near Ibiza town, and it was just so lovely and just a completely different vibe. So I already had that little bit of a taste.
Yeah.
And then I was very fortunate to come back, and I've come to visit you twice. Actually.
Yeah. Our times were quite fun. We did some nice things. So we went paddleboarding with you. That was nice. Yeah,
it's probably one of the last times you're in San Antonio, because we went over there to do it.
That's the last sunset I saw in San Antonio was with you.
I've got a photo, guys. I'll share it.
It's been really nice. In the north, you can see the sunset in a few places, and in different places in the south. So I have been to a few sunsets, but not in San Antonio. I just find it very fulfilling living here. On a daily basis, but it's been quite weird this year, obviously with the COVID thing. I'd say 80% of my work's been cancelled up till now. I've had a few things, but tourism here has been really, deeply affected. Clubs not open, so anybody who works in the nightlife industry is jobless. Bars hardly, okay, they're doing okay, but it's as busy as it would be in April and July. So there's the beach. It's quite nice for me, actually. But tourism's low, and it is a worry because a lot of people do rely solely on a summer tourism. So they need to work April to October and then money for the whole year. And when there's no one here, they're going to really struggle in the winter. It's quite a weird vibe. But to be honest, it's been really nice for me, because we've had this magic of having this beautiful island to ourselves in summer, which has never happened in many years since the 60s. So we've had this hippie life where we're wandering around this beautiful island, having it, all the beaches are clear, having picnics on the beach with our friends. It's just been magic for us, but not really in a monetary sense. But I don't think we'll ever experience a summer like this again. So it's been quite unique.
Yeah, it's been something nice and special for people. You know, they have had that.
Yeah.
That quiet and seeing the area in a different way. But Kit, can you tell us what he does for work?
Well, now he was a trained architect. So he helped me set up my sushi business, and he worked with me for a few years actually. And then one time set up, he then went on, because his passion's always been architecture. He trained as a technical architect in Leeds. So he now runs an architect's practice. So whilst I've been raising the children from young, he's set up his business now. He's got 3 staff. And a business in the centre of Central Alia, so he's got his own office. He's doing really well, and he works with clients all over the world. They don't really have a budget, so he's got a really nice job. You know, clients who just want to build their dreams. So they'll come with a concept, and he'll build it from scratch, 3D models, and it's really nice. It's an incredible job for him to have clients of such caliber with such open budgets in such a beautiful place. So I've seen some of the projects he's worked on. You know, we've had running mountain slides down the mountains, underground clubhouses, club room.
Wow.
Just in, yeah, amazing. Acres and acres of land just to build green houses.
So, because is there still a lot of space on the island?
No. So at the moment, there isn't, you can't build new houses right now because there's quite a strict limitation from the government. But people are buying the old houses and the land and renovating. So that's how it's been done.
Okay.
So he's working on big renovation projects for clients. So that's how it is at the moment. No, there isn't much space now. And the government have put quite a cap on it, because people, at one point, it was just insane, the amount of regeneration and new buildings, and there has to be a limit, because then the beauty starts being interrupted by tons of, you know, grey buildings and apartments. So it has to be a limit. So I'm happy that it's that way.
I remember when I was there, he was working on something and seeing some of the sketches and stuff. It was just beautiful, very lovely, like modern, but like, you know, you're both very in touch with the land. So I know that he's quite aware of, you know, that making it look part of it, not just, you know, yeah, like not sticking out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, exactly, respecting the land and the history of the place and the land. We bought a house, an old finca. It hadn't been lived in since 1958. So we bought,
what?
Yeah, so it was old. So we opened the door and it was like a museum for how Ibethenk and Pies used to live. So we had this old pantry with all the old plates on the wall. There was no running water. There was a well outside. There was no real kitchen. It was just dirt floors with a basin and then things hanging on the wall. Yeah, it was incredible. So we just basically stripped everything out. We've kept all the old structure and everything in it and just modernized the interior. And it's amazing. It feels like we're living in an old house 50 years ago.
Oh my God. And so is that sort of like a typical style of house? You said a finca?
A finca, they're called, yeah. So a finca is like an old farmhouse. So it's in the middle of San Vicente. It's got a couple of acres around it. But on the it's got quite steep terracing, which is quite normal for here because there's a lot of hills. There's big Sabina roofing, which is quite typical. The big thick white walls. It's just, yeah, and small doorways. I think the Pies must have been small because everything's quite quite small compared to your standards of buildings. But it's very beautiful, incredibly simple, very simplistic.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah.
And are you going to build like have sort of like farm? Okay, what's the land like? They can you
eventually
grow things?
We've started a food garden already. So we do grow most things. I don't have to stop buying in supermarkets yet, but it's reduced it considerably. So we have our own. We're going to extend that. We're building a well next year. Once we've got that, we can start irrigation for farm, fruit trees. We want to use the land next year for the wedding, then we're going to utilize it for food and farming. So we want to be as sustainable eventually. Like fully sustainable, off grid. That's our dream. So we can live our, you know, encased life without need for anything else out of our land.
Oh, how wonderful! And wonderful for the children too to be like, you know, so hands on. And I know you're running recently, like a kids cooking class workshop.
Yeah. So in the winter time. So in the summer, I have clients. So we, you know, I'm busy with catering for families or, you know, private parties, retreats. I do a lot of photo shoots, but in the winter, you know, by October, November, that's kind of tailed off and there's no one really coming like that. So I've set up a little cookery school, and the residents here, I teach adults, but mainly children. A lot of the mums and dads, they want something for their kids to do. So I teach from three or four, actually, as the youngest, to about 11, and then a teenage one. And yeah, we do all sorts. I teach them how basic cooking, different recipes. And they love it. I mean, teaching children is so much fun. They're amazing to teach. Adults are usually quite reserved. They want to make sure they're doing the right thing. They overthink everything. But children, they just get really stuck in. There's no holding back. They don't overthink anything. And they're actually really good. I can get a child of four or five rolling a sushi roll, you know, easy peasy.
Probably better than me, to be fair.
Probably better than most adults. But no, I mean, you know, children are amazing. Their little brains are... My son's learning Catalan, Spanish and English with ease. He's four and he's just really, you know, it just soaks in. I struggle. I'm 7 years in and I can basic conversational Spanish, but I'm nowhere near as good as him. His language, his accent is incredible. So
I was going to ask actually, because I remember when I came, you know, because I hablo un poquito español, so and we were in the shop and I was like chatting away and you were like, what?
Oh, you can speak Spanish and we're not speaking Spanish. Well, no, you're definitely speaking more than us. I remember we went to a market, I think, and you were chatting away to the market holder. I thought, this is embarrassing. I mean, I speak Spanish by now. But I think it got better since the kids have been in school. You know, we have to, it's Spanish, so you just have to do it.
Yeah,
all my clients are English, so I could, you know, I got away with, because I'm quite shy. If I can't do something perfectly, I don't like it. Whereas Kit's really good. He'll just spanglish all the way and just bumble his way through things. And he's learned actually a lot more than me. Whereas I'm
wait
till I can say it perfectly before I, and that takes a lot longer.
Oh, so cool that the kids are going to be bilingual, though.
Yeah, I know. Trilingual. Well, they because here there's Spanish, which is spoken obviously all over Spain, but the local language is Catalan, which is along the Barcelona coast or Catalonia.
Yeah.
And the Balearic. So that's a completely different language. It's more Italian and French mixed together rather than Spanish.
Mm.
And it's completely different in a lot of ways. So he's learning that too. So he's throwing it all my way. He comes in and he's chatting away, and I'm like, I have no idea sometimes what he's saying. It's really, we're quite confusing. You know, homework's coming in and it's in Catalan, so it's all about translation and understanding. And it's good for everybody to learn. It's really good for your brain, I think, to have that level of speaking different languages. I'm sure you know that because how many languages do you speak now?
No, it's just Spanish is the main one, but I pick up, you know, bits and bobs like Hindi and Nepali. And I think once you do start to work that muscle, and it's always been that time in the country. So for me, you know, it was time in Mexico, it was time in Spain that helped. So, and it's funny, the episode we released this week, and this will probably be separate, but I just had my friend Pedro from Barcelona, and he was, we were talking about the whole Catalan thing. So it's very funny that your son is now, I'm sure your daughter will too, but.
Yeah, she can speak a little, but she says hello and goodbye and stuff in Spanish, but not proper Spanish yet.
Oh my God, that'd be so cute. But I must say, the reason I came one trip, it might have even been the first time, was that you put up on Facebook, I'd just found out that I was meant to be flying to England. My grandmother was supposed to be picking me up from the airport, but she'd like double booked and was like going away for the weekend. It's like, oh, you could stay with your auntie or something. And I was just in a real like, are you serious? Like, I'm flying to England and you just forgot. And you posted that you were running a sushi class on Facebook. And I wrote underneath and I was like, maybe I'll come and do that. You were like, you should. And I private messaged you. I'm like, no, seriously, maybe I should just come to Ibiza. And so I flew somewhere to London. I must have gone Dubai, London. Straight out of London, I went to Madrid. I spent the night in Madrid. And then I flew in to Ibiza.
Yeah.
And I remember having a nap because I'd traveled for like 60 hours and I did sleep in Madrid, but I was still a bit out of it. And I had a nap and I remember waking up in that room that was in that you were renting a little house. And I was like, you came into the room and I was like, I just took me a minute. I've never been that whacked out of it. I was like, I don't know where I am. Not sure who you are. It just like, you were just like, Emma, come on.
Why am I here?
And then you cooked me amazing food. So it was, very good. So I didn't have to learn anything. I think you did do one night. You were like, let's do it together. And I'm like, you could do it because you just make amazing, healthy, yummy food.
No, I know. I think you were there. Was that the time when we did that private? It was a proposal.
Proposal.
Beach. Yeah, and you were there. So, and that was amazing. It was on a little Estanyol beach. And you helped me set us up. That was magic. I still speak to the people who we did that for. You know, they message me because they come back every year to the point where they got engaged and they have a holiday and they always say, hello, we're here again. And thank you. And because it's creating memories like that for people, it's so amazing and long-lasting, especially when you keep in touch with them.
I do remember that. It was absolutely beautiful and the setting and we snuck out just before they came and I was like, oh, it's just going to be, and you've made all this beautiful food and the sky was just perfect because I came, that was like November or December. And so both the trips I came around, I think, November, December, which is, the weather's lovely. It's kind of like the Gold Coast.
Yeah. It's actually nicer in up until February, March gets a bit windy and rainy, but so nice in November when everybody's gone and you've had this really hard season. The weather's still incredible. You're just like, gosh, I've got, and the island's quiet again. So it goes from completely crazy manic to really serene. And it's that balance. It's nice to have both actually. It's a yin and yang.
Yeah.
It fits both sides of your personality. You can have a bit of a wild time and then you can calm down again. But no, it's just, it's very incredibly calming. You can just go to a beach and sit down and put your feet in the sand. And everything's balanced again. And that's what I love about living here. Whatever's going on, you just go near the water and everything's calm.
And there's so many places that people would never even know about. Like we went on the, I think it's like a Wednesday night, we went to the drummer's circles.
Yeah, there's all sorts of, there's a little things like that in the culture. It's just, it's not like a really showy culture, Ibiza. It's just quite magic and secretive. So you just have to go and find what's going on. And you have to know and go and find out and go to little parties and go to the dinner parties in the campo. And it's just magic. Everything about it's magic. I'm still very much in love with the place 7 years later.
I love that. And you, the next time we came, because we were at the other house then, we went for the day just with, you know, down to, there was like a little, you know, so many places. Everybody thinks, oh, I want to go to that beach bar and I want to go to that the day club. But we were just on a little beach and there was a little bar and there was cool tunes playing and it was just super chill. And, yeah, people who, all these locals who I guess just don't work in the day. Or whatever. So just everyone's just hanging out.
It's a half and half place here. I think it's become an incredibly wealthy place. It's one of the now where, you know, prices have rocketed. So it has brought a level of, back in the 60s, it was just hippies, you know, and now it's not like that. It's people that have really got a lot of money. So there's people like me who have to work. And then there's half of the island that don't work and they don't have to work. So it's fine. So there's the kind of duality of that. So some, you know, I've got some friends that don't work and it's great and they're having a nice life. But, you know, me who love working and have my business, but we all live together quite happily. But yeah, the culture's changed. So there's a lot of people here now that don't really have to work, which is nice for them.
Yeah. And how do your family feel? So your family, I mean, look, England, it feels far away, but it's not England to Ibiza.
Yeah. It's not. It's only 2 hours away. And last week, actually, we went and met family in France. This is the COVID thing. It's been quite weird traveling recently. So we didn't really want to get on a plane much. So we drove to France. And my relatives or our family drove from France to from England to France. So we met in the middle. So we do always meet up wherever we can. Yeah, 4 or 5 times a year, they come here, we go there. It's 2 hours on a flight. It's nothing. Nothing.
Yeah, and it's pretty reasonable when it's not in the, I mean, even in the peak season, it's not terrible. Like when I came over for our, you know, girls weekend,
yeah,
you know, I was young and it was still, I mean, it's affordable because, like, otherwise why would all these young, you know, English people be coming over?
Yeah, no, it is affordable. It's not, I mean, there is, but you can do it on a budget. You don't have to blow lots of money. And no, it is. I mean, in April and September, it's really cheap flights. I mean, July and August is a bit more expensive, but to be honest, if I was to tell anybody to come to the island, I would say don't come in July and August, you know, come in every day.
Yeah.
Peak season is not always the best, I don't think. It's too hot and too busy. But no, it's affordable. It's a really nice place to come and hang out, especially if you're sporting. Lots of hiking and biking and sailing and there's all sorts going on like that. And then again, a lot of people don't understand that about the island. I think they just see the whole party club scene and negate anything else.
And how long did it take your family and friends to kind of accept that you were kind of in Ibiza for good?
Some have been more accepting than others. So that's a really difficult question because two sides of the family. See, a lot of my friends and their families, they're really well travelled. So when they come here, they're like, oh, yeah, right, they're living abroad, whatever, you know, they're happy. But then it's not always like that. Some families are traditional. When they've always lived in the same place and no one's moved anywhere, it doesn't always sit very well. So I think that's been a growing factor for our family and some of the family members in being here. And I think now it's okay because we're here and we're happy and we've settled and we've got children and we've got a house and, you know, now it's life and it's fine. But I don't think it's always been like that. And it does take a long time sometimes to accept the change, I guess.
For me, I mean, I thought when I came to see you, I was like, oh, you're here for good.
Yeah.
And you hadn't been there very long at that time. Maybe it's the first year or so, but it was like, oh yeah, this works.
Yeah.
And the way you were talking and stuff. And then this, you know, the second time for sure, you were just set. So that's, I mean, obviously I'm not as, you know, close. I hadn't seen you before you were a traveler. It was a bit different, yeah. But I totally understand if we get the same, you know, we only live in the Gold Coast, but people go, oh, when you come back to Sydney? And I'm just like, not, you know, if anything, we might end up somewhere else, but yeah. You know, this is home.
Yeah.
This is our.
And this is where that's what that's I think when you travel a lot, you when you find a place that you find you want to be your home and you feel it, you know it, don't you? And you're there and you're like, this is my home, this is where I want to be, and you're settled in your mind. It's just about everybody else equating to that change and trying to understand you, really, rather than make you want to live the old life where you were before, because it makes them feel comfortable, which is a difficult thing to deal with.
And you said before, like, you know, you 100% I believe that you'll come to Australia and have, you know, a big trip with kids, and that doesn't mean you're never going to travel again. Like, when I say we're quite grounded here, and we the same, we want to buy a house with land and love to have, you know, a garden and stuff and animals and all that, that's sort of the 5-year plan. But that doesn't mean that we'll never go anywhere again, but it's like we just longer term see this as the base,
yeah,
and see this as where the life will be built from.
Yeah.
And then if we get taken to other places in between or want to visit other places, that's fine. But yeah, you do get that sort of going, oh yeah, we just feel very grounded. And
yeah, and it just feels like the right place. And I think, like you said, with the travel thing, once you start, when you've traveled and you've got that travel bug, especially when I'm waiting now for the children to be old enough. I mean, we go to France and whatnot, but when they get older, I want to take them around the world. I want to show them all the amazing, because we've seen some incredible things traveling. And I want them to be able to see that too, because it changes your mindset of everything, doesn't it, when you travel, the way you view yourself, the way you view your world, the way that you shows what you want to do in life, the people you hang around with, everything changes. And it gives you that greater mindset. And I think everybody should experience it. So hopefully I can give it to my children and show them.
And having those, yeah, the relationships, you know, you do, like, you beat, you know, even though we met, we're in a place that we were living, you know, you sort of connect on that deeper level. And I mean, you know, I've seen you twice in the past 6 years, but you know, we jumped on here and it's normal. And you know, I very much hope that I'll be coming to your wedding, and you know, I hope that you can come back to mine. So you know, all those sorts of things. And because you have that instant deeper connection, if you get it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what traveling's all about. You get to meet mindful people just like you anywhere around the world, and it connects you with so many cool people, and it's been such a nice experience. So yeah, I'm definitely excited about taking the children around the world and showing them Australia for sure. They definitely have to go see Melbourne.
Yes, your home.
See you. I'm excited already.
And I was so like, you weren't into food because you were, so you were in the entertainment industry.
Yes.
And then you, what were you doing in the UK before you went traveling? Like, because you just, it was not food at all.
No, I did business. So I've always wanted to run a business. So I worked in business. I studied business management at university. That was my degree. And I was always interested in food, but it wasn't really, I didn't really know how to get into it at the time. I just knew I wanted to run a business. So that's the only thing I really wanted to do at university. And it was relatively, I was really good at exams. So right, university was always the par. And I think with most chefs, when they start, they tend to work in kitchens. A lot of chefs, not now, most of them, but a lot of chefs start out after school. They don't really take on a college or an education career, and they go to catering college from 16. And I didn't really take that route at all. And it was something I was always passionate about, but never really had the chance to fulfill. So when we went traveling, I left my job. I worked in research and advertising. I left that job behind, which was actually really good for creating a business, because I learned how to market and advertise a business, which was actually. And I left that behind. And then it was the traveling that really gave me that stop break to really think, okay, how do I do this now? And that's where it gave me the inspiration to start in doing in the path I really wanted to be doing and where I wanted to be. And it was sitting in Melbourne on a embankment outside a sushi shop, and Kit and I were like, okay, we're going home. This is what we want to do. And having that discussion, that wouldn't have happened at all. If we were still in the UK, I'd have been stuck in the machine, the cycle of whatever it was doing.
Mm.
It would never have happened. It was all due to traveling and having that time and that break to really reassess life and move into an area I wanted to be. And it just started from there, that having that creative time to be able to think, okay, this is what I want to do. How am I going to achieve it? How do I roll it out? And we just planned it out and went back to Leeds and just did it, and it worked. Yeah.
It's so awesome that as well Kit was so on board, and I mean, he's a beautiful man anyway, but just so on board, and that he was willing to sort of invest in that dream.
Absolutely.
And then has gone on to, you know, and you had to work hard at it for a few years, and then he's gone on to do what he wanted to do anyway.
I think for him, he was having, before we left to go, after traveling, he was in a job, he was working for a company he wasn't really that invested in. So I think for him to work in food at that time was really good. It gave him that break, but it also made him realize how much he was passionate about architecture. So when he came here, he set up, he's like, I feel like something, you know, you feel like something's missing. He's like, no, I have to go back to it. I have to go back to what I'm, you know, what I'm supposed to do. And that was a really good, I mean, God, thank God now, because when I had the children, I stopped working for a little bit. So with him working in his own career, it's actually all worked out really well. It's worked out very well, actually, for all of us, including the children.
But that's having a partnership too, and you both, you know, being willing to go, okay, it's your time.
Yeah.
I'm here for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Now it's my time. And especially when you're traveling, but also when you're starting out, and you know, that thing of moving to a new place together, it's just you two, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And you've got to make it, you've got to do it.
Well, you've got to, and that's a thing here as well, more than anywhere in Ibiza. It's an amazing place if you succeed. If you've got to be very strong-willed, really confident, and really good at what you do, because if you don't and you fail, you go home. There's no help, there's no assistance, there's no backup. So it is quite a harsh place to actually start out. We're settled now, but it takes a good few years to even get on the ladder to be able to feel safe here. I suppose like anywhere else, when you've not got that family support, especially when you're raising children, you've got to be a good couple. It's a make or break situation. And we're still here and we're getting married, so it made us.
But also, you're fabulous networkers, and I just, you know, I just couldn't believe it when I came to see you. I mean, I should have believed it. You know, we met that way, but just, you know, you're like working on yachts and, you know, setting up these things, and you knew this person and that person, and that, you know, it's the whole what, it's who you know as well.
And now I think that you have to create your own mini family here as well. Like now we've got a really good support network of friends. You know, when you've got children, you need that support network. You can't just work on your own. You have to have the whole village around you to help you. Because it's quite, you'll find that, it's quite a tough environment when you're just starting out with a family. But when we had this community of other mums and families, it's been actually really nice. We've created a little family network in Ibiza to support our needs, and everybody's really happy, which is for the most part anyway. And it's a real blessing, actually. Lots of really nice people just like us, all living together in our own little dreams and helping each other out.
Love that. Yeah. And you said before, though, something. You said, I thank my lucky stars, you know, so often that I get to live here. But I must say, you know, some people say to me a lot of the time with my travel and stuff that I'm so lucky that I get to travel. But I always turn around and say, I'm fortunate. And, you know, I say, you're very fortunate, but you made this.
Yeah.
You made that plan. You worked at it. You made the decisions. You have made this path for yourself and this life for yourself. And it brings me so much joy. And I love that I've been there and seen it too, because I just look at your photos and I just think, yes, this is their life that they've made.
Yeah,
so, it does, well done to you.
Well, thank you. It does feel like that. I know we feel, I mean, every, I think it's not just luck. No, it's work, dedication, and bravery. More than anything, bravery. I remember the first day that I landed here, and I was going to the job in Cardamon Events, and I got off the plane. It was 11 o'clock at night. I picked up my cart and I was physically shaking because I was so scared. I didn't know how I was going to make money. I didn't know how I was going to get on. I didn't know what my flat was going to be like. And I just left everything behind. Even Kit, I came on my own for six or eight weeks to make sure it was okay before he moved the whole life over. And I was physically shaking. It was one of the scariest times of my life. And I thought, no, I can do this. And it took a lot of courage, actually, just to jump into this new world of not knowing anything and make it work. It was terrifying, but amazing. It was the best decision I've ever made.
I love it. It's so brilliant. And look, you said a few things throughout, but if people are to come to visit Ibiza, like, you know, so top tips are don't come in July and August unless you're a mad raver.
Speak to me. Come say hello. If any of your friend, only anybody you know through your podcast, definitely just hook up with me and I can try and find a nice place for you to stay. And just try and forget about the club. I mean, obviously go to a bar or a club or whatever, but try and make that only 10% of the reason why you come here, and try and venture away from the club scene and see the actual island, because it's incredible and it'll blow you away. There's so many magical things you can do. But yeah, come to me and I'll give you some top tips of when, whatever time of year it is, what markets to go to, what things are going on, you know, I don't know, open air cinemas, beach parties. Not, no, well, there's not many of them now with COVID, but there was. just anything you want to do, any interest you have, I can probably help hook up in that area. But yeah.
And you helped my friend with her wedding. Yeah. You helped Em, didn't you?
So it's funny because it's such a small place and, you know, you get to know everybody and what everybody's doing and all the people in the right areas to do what jobs. So quite connected. So very happy for any of your listeners if they're coming to Ibiza to say hello and I'll help them out.
No, you would. You'd be amazing. So thank you so much. I'm so happy, genuinely, it's called passive joy or something like that. Like, I feel genuinely happy when I see all of your images and I and talk to you.
Yeah.
That you guys have done this life and doing this life and it's very cool. And I wanted listeners to hear, you know, there's just travel can look different and life in different countries can look different. So
I can't wait to see you again. Hopefully it'll be sooner rather than later.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Thank you for today. And on to the next one.
Hey, thanks, Emma. That was a great episode. What a great chat.
Yes. Oh, it was such a joy talking to Emery, and it just brought back so many lovely memories, and it's going to be so amazing when we get to reconnect 100%. You're invited, Darius. We'll go to Ibiza together.
And rave?
Well, a bit of rave, bit of chill.
Can finally show you my dance moves.
And thank God this is a podcast.
Okay, but seriously, where can I get some more information about the Ibiza kitchen?
Yeah, look, Emery is super helpful and welcomes guests. So she's definitely somebody, a contact to have if you're going there. So head to the ibizakitchen.eu. That's her website. On Facebook, it's facebook.com/theibizakitchen. Ibiza is spelled IBIZA. You can also find them on Instagram, the Ibiza Kitchen. And honestly, do email Anne-Marie if you're planning to go over. She has helped a number of my friends, including one of my friends, Emiliana, with her wedding planning. She knows so many things about the island. So info@theibizakitchen.eu.
Fantastic. And what about if people want to contact us, Emma?
Well, there you go. It's pretty easy. Just Google Lovely Travels, LOVELLY. Double L means double the life. So find us on Instagram, Lovely Travels, Facebook group, Lovely Travels, website, you guessed it, lovelytravels.com.
Lovelytravels.com.
And please email us because we absolutely love it, info@lovelytravels.com.
That's right. This week's first email will win a complimentary shout out.
Yeah, we can promise on shout outs. We can't promise on other things. Not yet. Until we get all the giveaways and the freebies.
Also, free hummus if you come to either of our houses.
We love hummus. Okay, let's let these people go. Thanks, right, Everyone. See you next time.
Bye.